So at our last meeting last week, there was the opinion expressed by a couple of members. I don't think they're here today. So that tax isn't such an issue for workers. In terms of it's not politically important. And there's the follow the discussion, and we I think those people were changing their minds because they seem to contradict themselves at the end. But my view that I've thought about since that meeting is that it is a really important issue, because we forever hear this idea of, well, we need to protect the taxpayers' money. Now, as I've said in the text, I believe that this, as socialists, we should see that for what it is, which is that it's the protruding evidence of an argument amongst the ruling class about who should pay the taxes. And you can see this when they talk about such as Google and Facebook and whatever, supposedly hiding in Dublin, not paying taxes. They benefit from a double tax burden or a cost of coffee, who never bloody pay anything or do not pay the whack. It is a live and a confusing issue for the working class. So when people talk about, well, look how much I'm paying for the bloody fuel that I buy, it's all tax, you know. I can't be the only one that's heard this, and I know Ken Alden has heard it because he said it. but that said, I learned something last week, which is because they call council tax, it's not necessarily in the same field as income tax. Okay, I'm going to leave that there for a minute because I don't think anything else needs any explanation. If anybody wants, obviously, I've offered this as a basis for discussion. This is not included. It's not exclusive. Please, for goodness sake, don't think I'm trying to anybody what to do. But I'll leave it at that for the minute.
Yeah, Steve, it's Keith. I'm not clear why you think that council tax isn't a tax. What's the difference between that and tax?
This is something that Brian brought up last week, I think. Brian Johnson. He wants to... I certainly can't speak for Brian. Okay, I'm going to have to speak for Brian. Council tax, rather than being a tax of the same nature as income tax, is actually a charge that we pay for services. In fact, it's another price that we pay rather than taxation. I think, having read through some of these articles, I'm beginning to change my mind. I'm definitely wavering on that, but that's part of the purpose of this meeting, to get my ideas sorted out as well, not everybody else's.
Well, Brian, can you explain the difference? Why council tax? I mean, why isn't ordinary tax a price you pay for services as well?
What I said is that council tax is a price for services. No difference between a council tax, other than it's a local tax, and it's pay as you earn. They're both taxes. Is to make it appear as if you're making a contribution on society, to the maintenance of society. That's what all taxes bring about. You're not a shareholder, stakeholder. Therefore, you know, when it comes to, for example, when it comes to council tax, you can turn around and about the police, because the police expenditure within the council tax rate, etc. What else is it within council? Social services, education, they're all services, roadways, you know, A, B and C roads, they all come under the local council law. The regional parliaments, whatever. Anyone that don't use the motorway, that comes under central government.
Brian, can I ask you a question, please, Brian? So have I distorted what you said last week? It's unintentional.
No, I haven't distorted anything. It's just trying to explain, that the whole taxation question is about an attitude, a perception. Every one of us are stakeholders in the system, not shareholders. That's the capitalist class. They've been shareholders. We have got to say, paying taxes on what occurs within the system. If there's a tax on it, but what we can ask for is representation on any questions regarding. Puts it over then that the perception, that attitude has developed, puts it over that we have got to say no on who's on within the system. Very well, that's not so. Now, what I'd like to bring up to me is the difference in a tax system.
Brian, I apologise for interrupting you, but can I just ask other members or other attendees, are you having difficulty understanding Brian? Because at my end, he's breaking up on his microphone.
Yes, I'm having the same problem. Yeah,
I'm having problems too.
Yeah, I can't understand his argument. Of course, it's a tax.
Sorry for interrupting, Adam. Do you want to come back, or Keith?
Sorry, I didn't unmute. Adam was about to disagree, I think. I'd like to hear what he got to say.
Please do so, Adam.
And of course it's a tax, it's not a tax like ink, it's not a tax on income, but it's a tax. I mean, they used to have taxes on dog licenses and bicycles and things. I mean, but I think the point that Brian was trying to make, that it's an ideological thing that... I mean, in France, the word for taxation is contribution. So as if everybody's a community, and everybody's making a contribution to the thing. But that's a myth, isn't it? There is no community. It's a class divided society. But of course, council tax is a tax.
Can I ask a question? We say that it's the employers that pay tax, but what about the small people, like say a window cleaner or something like that, who doesn't have an employer, he's self-employed, he pays the tax. So effectively the tax is coming from him and he's not employed by anybody. So you can't say it's the employer that's paying his wages and his tax or whatever. So there are exceptions to what we say, I think. Yeah.
Can we just come to an agreement about who pays income tax in that respect, in terms of employees, and then come back to this idea about the self-employed thereafter? Is that all right, Adam? Be you? I think Doogie's trying to blend two things there.
Yeah, but I mean, there's a difference between. I mean, our position isn't that the workers don't pay taxes. It's that in the end, taxes don't fall on the working class. I mean, obviously, workers pay taxes, but in the case of income tax, because they've got the pay as you earn system, you might as well say that workers don't pay income tax. Because what's important is their take home pay. But in other countries, you have to fill in a form every year and actually pay the amount over. But it's the same difference in the end. But I think in England, it's easier to explain that workers don't really pay income tax because it's a deduction, automatic deduction from their wages, and what's important is their take home pay.
I think it's important just to stress, because I've had this issue with people in the past, is that we're actually talking about the working class as a whole not paying taxes. It may be that in certain industries, certain people do end up paying more out of their income than others and actually be paying tax. It's only in general that we can say that workers don't actually pay tax.
Adam came up with a statement along the lines of the burden falls on the capitalist class. Will you expand on that, Adam?
Yeah, I think we shouldn't go around saying the workers don't pay tax. Workers, most nearly all workers, do pay tax in one form or another. There's VAT, for example. Everybody pays that. I mean, our argument is, who does it ultimately fall on? And our argument is, it doesn't ultimately fall on the working class. It falls on the, well, on the property class in the end, whether they're employers or landowners or whatever. But I think we shouldn't. Oversimplify our argument and say workers don't pay taxes, because people can turn around and say, yes, I do. I pay council tax, for instance. You know.
I'd really agree with that, because I've had this discussion with people in the past, and that's always a sticking point with them. I mean, people obviously like to feel that they're actually making a contribution, and therefore when we say you don't pay tax, you just get dirty looks and a laugh, really. But yeah, I think that this thing about saying that it's the capitalist, the tax burden falls on the capitalist class is okay, because you then just explain that the market just adjusts rates of income to the tax situation.
Yeah, there is one of the articles that I've just read, just to remind you, if you've just come in. There are some links provided above in the tax channel that you could refer to, and one of those that I've been reading does clarify the issue that both Richard and Adam have made. Unfortunately, I can't remember which one of them it is, but one of the things that the parties put forward in these articles. That when taxes are applied, for example, if taxes change, that is going to have an effect either on the value of labour power, or it will have an effect on the I'll just leave it at that on the value of labour power. So that would tend to come in at a later stage to take away any benefits that people think they've gained. So now, has anybody got anything they want to add in?
I would just like to is putting forward a argument of the burden of taxation falls on the capitalist class. That opens up a very good line of discussion. Through that, you can spin out and explain that working class simply can't afford to maintain themselves. And if they could, it wouldn't be a capitalist system.
Heath, you're coming on that.
Yeah, I think Adam's clarified things a bit. The party's position isn't that the working class don't pay tax. It is that the burden of taxation falls on the capitalist class. Now, I mean, in a way, that's got to be true. The burden falls on the capitalist class because they got most of the loot. So there's nowhere else for it to come from. And I mean, my experience in the past is that the party's position on tax puzzles people. We get into knots trying to explain it to them. And I wonder why do we actually need to say that the taxation falls as a burden on the capitalist class? Why do we need to say that?
Well, I think sort of it's in a way to explain that people don't have an investment in the capitalist system. Working people don't have an investment in the capitalist system. I mean, that's the angle I've always taken on it. But while I'm speaking, I was just thinking. I'm sorry, my PC is so slow. I'm trying to get into some of these texts that have been put up on the tax text thing. But there was a particularly good article I remember seeing some years ago, or one that really brought it home to me, how this works. And I think it was by Paddy. It was like an imaginary discussion between two politicians about sort of taxing the, wouldn't it be a good idea if we tax the working class as a way of taxing businesses, according to the size of their workforce. And therefore, sort of giving the workforce this sense that they had a stake in the capitalist system. I don't know if Paddy wants, if it was Paddy, if he wants to say something about that.
Adam, people started putting cues into the questions to indicate a desire to speak. Did you want to say something now, Adam?
Yeah, it was just to pick up on something that Brian said, that the wages are a price, and they're a price of labour power, and the price of labour power is determined basically by the cost of living, what it costs to to buy all the things to recreate labour power so you can sell it again. Now, if you start from this premise, anything that increases the price which workers have to pay to reproduce their labour power, it's going to mean that they're going to have an increase in wages. Otherwise, they won't be able to reproduce their labour power at the same quality. So any taxes that fall, value-added tax, sales tax, council tax, and things like that, because they increase the cost of living, should exert an upward pressure on wages. And similarly with income tax, if in fact workers actually did pay directly income tax, the employer would have to compensate them for it. Otherwise, they wouldn't be able to reproduce their labour power. I mean, that's in the end, it's a question of, if you like, why the working class can't pay taxes, basically, rather than, why it can't be a burden on them, because if it would reduce their wages, or they're below what they need to maintain the quality of their labour power, so that wages are a price. Anything that increases the cost of producing labour power will ultimately reflect itself as an increase in wages. I mean, it's not automatic, of course. It'll come about through the supply and demand for particular types of work and trade union pressure. But I mean, that's the basic argument, I think, that wages are a price. Anything that increases the cost of reproducing that labour power will ultimately lead to an increase in the price. It won't leave the worker any better or worse off. It'll just mean that they'll have higher money wages.
Okay, thanks, Tom. So basically, we've got to get into the realms of labour theory of value to be able to understand that issue. So, and if anybody is thinking, hang on, this is all getting to be a bit esoteric, could it just, if you've not read the document that I've put up onto the contacts channel, this is relevant when it comes to discussing with workers, because in my view, we've got this, we can cede the ground to the class enemy, and we'll leave this idea of the taxpayers' money unchallenged. It might not necessarily be the case that we start saying, well, we don't pay tax anyway because of the labour theory of value, blah blah. Well, sorry, that anything that we pay in tax is we will compensate it because of changes in the value of labour. Given what Adam's just said, but if we don't challenge them, we leave this idea of the stakeholder. It's something to do with me. It's something that it's something that I need to take political action about within the capitalist system. So it tends to, it's going to drag them towards reformism. That's my understanding of the importance of the tax issue for workers. Should never ever forget that, despite the fact that the burden of tax falls on the capitalist, the burden of the capitalist falls on us. We are the people who produce the wealth at root before this discussion even starts, and that's one of the key things that we need to keep telling workers. Brian wants to come back.
Yes, my opinion in regards to the tax question, we need. But whoever comes and brings this up and say it's the maintenance of the working class which is important in regards to the tax question. Simply put, Adam has stated the working class can't afford to maintain themselves, and Keith have also said it. The burden the maintenance of the whole system falls on the capitalist class. That includes, you know, the welfare service and social services, education, etc. All this burden is going up year on year. And you've got to turn around and ask yourself how far can be pushed. I don't think you can push all that far, because what will happen, it'll hit surplus value, and there'll be less surplus value being produced. And so accumulation of capital will fall as well. That's my point on it anyway. You know, if the question pops up at all, in my experience, it rarely has. Bring it around to the burden, the cost, the burden, the maintenance of the system. And if you can, you know, also bring it around to the of maintenance or the working class themselves, that's health, social services, education, housing, etc. So if at all capitalist class are unable to make their contribution, then they should be making, what the cost of these services, essentially it's going to fall on the working class. Whether they can offset that by increasing their wage, the cost of wages, will depend, not entirely, but a great deal on how organized they are and the trade unions.
Anybody want to come back in? Well, Adam, yeah, please.
It wasn't going to be on that point. It was going to be to answer a question that Keith put, as why would it make any difference if we accepted that workers pay taxes? But I think it would, because, you know, we say that it's all right for workers to organize in trade unions and to try and get higher pay, because that's, you know, getting the price of the labor power. Now, if workers pay taxes, it would mean that the class struggle could take place over taxes, and you'd have different sections of the working class against each other, and so on. So I think it is important that we say that tax isn't an issue that concerns workers. But if we've got, you know, a clever opponent, he'll say, "Oh, well, you say it's all right to that workers should ask for higher wages. You know, why isn't it all right that workers should ask for lower taxes?" Well, I mean, the answer would be to that one: if you have lower taxes, then that'll be a downward pressure on wages. But I think we if we did say workers pay taxes, then we would get into all sorts of arguments about which sections of the workers paid what and so on. They don't pay taxes, of course. I mean, it isn't a burden on the working class.
You need to be careful there, Adam, for the payment of taxes on income and the payment of taxes for services, VAT, etc. is the essential difference.
No, I don't agree. I mean, obviously they're different taxes, but any taxes on goods that the working class consume will have an effect on the price of the labour power, because it will increase the cost of reproducing it. So I mean, it, VAT and all these other taxes also passed on eventually to the employer. Obviously, they're different taxes. One's on income, the other's on consumption. But in the end, they both have the same effect.
We could turn around and argue that we don't pay income tax. That's what I'm trying to say.
Sorry, you just dumped out there, Brian. I couldn't hear what you said then. Can you just repeat?
Said our argument is that we don't pay income tax, but we do pay taxes.
I think we got that now. You don't want to come back, Adam, do you? Wants to say something.
Well, I think in this discussion, we all fall into it. by saying workers don't pay taxes. But we've all, it's a pity, you know, one of the articles I sent you was from 1926, but it isn't in electronic form. At that point, the workers, hardly any workers did pay taxes, but some of them did. And the argument was made, even if workers did pay income tax, I assume that before the war, they didn't have the pay-as-you-earn system where the income tax is automatically deducted from your wage. So that people before the war had to fill in a form and send a check to the Inland Revenue. So historically, workers have paid, you know, physically paid income tax, and they still do in some other countries. I mean, in England, in Britain, we can use the argument that the workers never see the income tax because it never appears in their pay packet, and they never pay it. So you could say, if you wanted, workers don't pay income tax. But we would be careful about using this word pay, because workers do pay taxes. But as we've been establishing, taxation isn't a burden on the whole working class. It can't be.
I don't really understand that argument there, Adam, because why is it's not a burden on people who retired or people who are out of work. But surely it's a burden on, if we're going to take that line that you're saying, it's a burden on the vast majority of the working class. Unless I misinterpreted what
you have, I think.
I'm quite prepared to believe that.
You know, the argument I'm trying to make is that, and this is where we get into difficulty when arguing with other people, is that workers do pay taxes in some cases. Some taxes, you have to actually hand over the money or send in a check or make a bank transfer. Workers do actually pay taxes. But the argument is that as far as the way the capitalist system works, the burden of taxation falls on the property class, the employers or landowners. It any taxes that workers have to physically pay get incorporated in the cost of reproducing their labor power, and that increases the money wage that the employer has to pay. So it's, you know, workers indirect tax collectors, if you like, for the capitalists. But they're neither better off nor worse off because of it.
Okay, I'm with that. I think that's clear. Providing people understand the labour theory of value, that's clear what you're saying there.
Well, you don't really have to go into the labour theory of value to explain it, because everybody knows about wage negotiations and wage bargaining, and all you have to do is to explain to them what actually goes on apparently in the workplace. You know, that when you have a huge increase, say, in income tax, that when you go into your next wage bargaining round, you've got this argument, you know, that you're now, you have this extra burden, and you've got a stronger argument for claiming and sort of you put more pressure on the capitalist class to get that additional money back so that you can to raise your level of income, your standard of living, back up to where it was before, because it's fallen as a result of the new income tax proposals. So you can explain it on that level, and I've generally found that's the argument that works best, rather than trying to get into abstract arguments, you know, about value and the labour theory of value.
What's the argument when you've got a minority of workers organised in trade unions? We then have to talk. Individuals have to go in and use all these facts.
Sure. Well, then you've got supply and demand. You know, if workers will theoretically sort of, where they can, take jobs with bigger incomes and lower incomes, and so that you've got this pressure. You know, if workers are actually faced with a big increase in their tax contributions, and they have a choice of jobs, they're going to take a job with the higher income. So you get that kind of pressure on the market as well.
Okay, thanks, Richard. Dougie, do you still want to come in? If not, Carlo's got a question.
I'll come in briefly. I mean, if you look at the price of labour, it differs from country to country, determined by the sort of standard of living and the prices of things over here. But if you get inflation, workers go for a wage rise to combat that. And if you get a tax rise, workers go for a wage rise to combat that. And it depends on how the negotiation goes. But it's all to do with the price of labour, and that varies from country to country, right? Yeah. That's all I wanted to say. That's why Dyson moved their factory to Malaysia, because they could pay some like a fifth of the wages that they were paying in Britain or whatever. So the burden of wages and the burden of taxes falls on the people that pay the wages.
Can I just remind you, Dougie, wages are not the price of labour. Wages are the price of labour power.
Yeah, well, yeah, price of labour
power. Okay. Carla?
Okay, yeah, I was just going to say the same thing about with Dougie, because countries with a so-called high standard of living have higher salaries, and basically the workers no better off, because the high standard of living means that although you get higher wages, everything else, rents, food, is also higher. And so I don't think those workers are particularly better off. And what I was going to say about a lot of companies have regular salary reviews, literally that you every so many months you can go in and ask for a wage rise or a salary rise, and that only reflects you're not doing any more work for that or any different work for that. That obviously reflects higher cost of living or extra taxes. Therefore, who's paying that? Then your employer then will give you a higher salary, and that's how I understand that the burden is then theirs and not yours.
I think we're seeing in from this meeting it's a complicated argument and entry in the meeting document, but I would like to find a nifty argument for dealing with tax. I'll stop there. I'd like to find a nifty argument for dealing with tax, rather than tax on consumption. I'm hoping that well, maybe I'm the only one who feels that they've not got a good argument yet, or a good way of arguing it.
I've done a little bit of reading on progressive tax, like the importance of a progressive tax, and they have this slogan that taxes are what we pay to keep from living in a third world country. But if the burden of taxation falls on the capitalist class, you know, in a way that kind of cuts into their profits. So it's one of those contradictions, I think. The lower the taxes for the property class, the higher their profits. But also the more impoverished we become if we're not taxing the capitalist class.
I'd like to say something on that. Based on what I've seen in South America, there is in Argentina in particular, appears to be a gigantic division in regards to tax between the industrial capitalists, the huge agricultural interests. You got enormous capitalist interest in the countryside, which apparently don't seem to want to be in for the social services, family allowances, education, and stuff like that. Seems to be a huge reluctance on their part, partly because they don't have the same sort of requirements for example, interest. But this may well be, obviously they're now modernising and they're using huge amounts of machinery, so they will need a sort of a more educated proletariat to carry on with the agricultural industries. I wonder if there is a sort of historical effect of the fact that before the mechanization occurred, before they needed engineers in the countryside, they were able to have a very, very degraded working class. Didn't necessarily need to last that long, didn't need to be literate, just needed to be strong and produce loads of progeny for the future generation. So, but there does seem to be this gigantic, it's a real, real powerful clash that's all you can only really get the hints of as a member of the working class. They don't invite me to any of their meetings.
But I mean, historically, there have always been arguments between different sections of the capitalist class as to which section is going to bear the burden. I mean, in the famous one in England is the Corn Laws, and I was going to say the last century, but last century, but one. I mean, the Corn Laws provided protection for landowners and people growing corn. So the price of corn was high, and the industrial capitalists had to take it into account when they were paying wages. And of course, they said, if we reduce the price of wheat, then you'll be better off. But of course, the real argument was they wanted to reduce the cost of wages. So this is what most of the arguments in the end about taxation are about. They're between different sections of the capitalist class as to which section should bear the burden. I mean, you mentioned right at the beginning these transnational corporations and so on, which don't pay the same taxes as native ones, which can't move around. So they want to tax these people now so that they pay more, and the non-multinational, international ones pay less. So the same, a lot of the tax arguments are between different sections of the capitalist class, which we as the working class needn't and shouldn't get involved in. I'm not going to mention Brexit, but that's another example of that sort of thing.
But we do need to have a position as a party on, for example, Costa Coffee, Google, Facebook, and explain to the working class why this is nothing to do with us. Because I'll just repeat again, we do get sucked into the, not us as a party, but workers do get sucked in and taken in by these arguments. It's always we've got this spectre at the feast, which is the capitalist system, which is, let's face it, it's invisible to most people. It's just normality. It's never questioned. So the people turn up and say, it's taxpayers' money. Okay, so that's me. They're talking about me. And okay. Oscar wants to come in.
Hi, everyone. Hi. Thanks. It's my first time here, actually. Thanks for the clarification. I don't have any problem accepting the arguments as they're presented that taxes is an illusion, so to speak. But I found that when I tried to have a conversations with other people about this, the complexity of the tax structure kind of obfuscates this perspective. So, for example, two people could be in the same job on the same salary, but because of their personal circumstances, they will be paying different amounts of income tax. Just wondered if anyone had any kind of, I mean, this would presumably because there's certain parts of society that have historically advocated for reductions in taxation. But does anyone have any way of sort of concisely answering that criticism or that complication?
I think you'll find there are several, Oscar. This is a great question. Thank you for raising it. Adam.
Well, I mean, I think that the main difference why people doing the same job would get different take-home pay would probably be to do with whether they were married or unmarried, or whether they had children or not. And family allowances, when they were introduced, they seem a good idea, but they, of course, resulted in the single person or the family without children, in effect, getting a reduction in their wage, because previously the wage that was paid to a man had to be sufficient to cover bringing up a family. Once that was paid for by the state, then that burden was taken, if you like, off the employer and put onto the general capitalist class through the state paying family allowances. I think that would be the main reason. I think why people doing the same job would have different take home pay. It would be to do with different family circumstances, assuming they were doing exactly the same job.
There's one analogy that you could take from social accounting and from allowances. Take the disabled living allowance, Oscar. Is that not analogous to what we're talking about people paying apparently different taxes? Because the living requirements of such a person are higher than somebody who's just unemployed. Can you see the parallel?
I think Steve, you should take into account Oscar is in Ireland, not in Britain, where the benefits system will be different.
That's right. the disability one is a good example, I suppose. I had another question, which is even more general, actually, which is that I think it was alluded to at the beginning of the discussion. How important is this position in terms of convincing people of our perspective? I mean, if you're trying to advocate for a moneyless or a wageless society, then the exact structure of the tax system seems somewhat abstract.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's right. It's basically an argument against reformism rather than an argument for socialism. So we're arguing with people that say you should try and do something now within the system, and we're saying it's not worth it. It doesn't make much difference. But I take your point. Our main thing is arguing for socialism, but we're arguing in this particular case against. People want to reform the system by changing the taxes.
I'll come back on that, then, Oscar.
That's fairly clear. Thanks for the response.
Anybody else want to come in? Anybody else got any queries or put forward views?
It was explained actually in response to Oscar. I had the same attitude. I had the same feeling. But it was explained, I think it was, a party member explained the fact that it's important because the tax argument is important because through the whole system of taxes, the workers feel they have a stake in this capitalist society. So they have a stake in capitalism. That's how it was explained to me. And now I understand that that is important to understand that workers have no stake in capitalism, and the tax argument therefore is pretty important.